Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
Today we have a fun show ahead. Yeah.
Get woke, everybody.
Get woke. It's woke commerce time.
woke commerce. So I don't know if it's happening like at this exact moment, but you're supposedly going to start a whole Twitter storm about something you're calling woke commerce. And I need you to get into this right away, because I need to hear what this is all about.
Well, I had a great conversation at Future Stores by someone from Glowforge, which is a really cool company.
You were at Future Stores Seattle. We talked about it in the last episode.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting trends going on at Future Stores. And this conversation, definitely one of those great conversations you tend to just have at conferences like that when you're sitting down for lunch, because there's exactly. really interesting people there that are doing really interesting things. And so I was chatting with a couple people about is retail getting woke?
Can we make the show title just like an audible groan?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that a lot. I think there's been a lot of brands that have been trying to get woke for a long time. And is that even a good thing? I'm not even sure. Woke is, so like millennial pretentious.
I don't, it's like everything, it sort of, becomes like it takes on a whole new meaning on its own. I think in the beginning, woke meant that you were hip to social justice issues. And right. I definitely think that it started around Black Lives Matter and it was co-opted by a bunch of people, as these things are wont to do, to mean all kinds of things. So, but when you say woke commerce, give me a short definition of what you mean.
Yeah, that's a great question. I was like, if we're going to talk about woke commerce, I should probably go on urbandictionary.com and just make sure that I understand what woke actually means and that I'm not... But I didn't really like their definition, or at least the top definition that showed up, which was effectively like saying that someone's extra pretentious about their a specific issue that they believe in.
Fine. Yeah, exactly.
But I think in this case, let's just sort of, define it as brands that are, that are aware of and make it clear that they're aware of, of modern takes on a number of issues.
Usually left leaning, progressive, right?
Typically left leaning and progressive, but not necessarily. Just, I think
so brands that sort of take public stands that was what the conversation was about, was brands that take public stands, maybe not as a culture, but maybe, on certain issues from time to time. And one that comes to mind is like Patagonia standing up to the Trump administration over, the Bureau of Land Management and a bunch of, things there. That is woke, right? Would that be an example of woke?
That would be an example. I think it reflects it, like being woke is more than just taking a stand. I think it's about sort of your culture as well. Like up and down the culture.
Or identifying like people of like-mindedness, right?
Like, exactly.
You're woke, like, I'm woke, we're all woke.
It's a community. Yeah. Right. Community is sort of thing. So Patagonia would be a perfect example, like you said, of like a woke brand, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. So give me an example of how this evolved, because that's not what we're talking about.
We started to have some fun with this, and I was like, you know what I think a new category might be? Woke hunting. in that, like, I mean, I live in a town that's sort of, you know, on the edge of the National Rainier or Mount Rainier National Forest. And there's a lot of hunting and fishing that happens in my town for sure. And I think that, you know, I know several people that, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, all in on, you know, sort of the current hunting culture and gun culture, but they do like to hunt. I think they found themselves without places to purchase things from, whether it's gear or, you know, whatever it is that they need, that, you know, that sort of in line with their belief systems. And I think that you know, the challenge here, of course, is that, you know, there's just been such a divide on this issue. But I do think that there's like a whole series of outdoorsmen and outdoors people and hunters and fishers and so on that aren't necessarily fitting into what the brand schemes that have built around there's a culture of you know, redneck and
I was hoping you wouldn't say the word, but yeah, okay. Without like we could dance around it, but yeah, there are people who enjoy sporting without having, you know, being lumped in with an archetype,
right?
Or some kind of a, you know, some sort of a being pigeonholed as a kind of a person who, you know, drives a certain type of a car or whatever.
Right.
Or truck okay, fine. So you're thinking that something that's coming is brands that appeal to sensibilities of folks who want to participate in a particular activity or around a set of sort of maybe out, you know, sporting that doesn't identify with that cultural norm,
right? Exactly.
That usually goes with it. Okay,
they might be for more gun control instead of less gun control, and you know they might be for, you know, more regulations around, you know, when and where to hunt, you know, and more conservation. And actually, a lot of hunters I know are, you know, are very focused on conservation. But again, I mean, I live in Western Washington. I live in King County, which is where Seattle is. If Seattle, I feel like Seattle would want to describe itself as a woke city.
I would believe so. Yeah. They've got the pot culture is very woke, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I put this in a bunch of different contexts?
Now we get to have the fun. Like, let's
I love how excited you get about this. Stuff like this. Like you're jumping up and down excited. I'm curious what you think. Like, if that's the case, let's say that that's a repeatable. There are a couple examples of this already. What we see is it's very normal, and we're in June, so it's Pride Month, right? And happy Pride to everybody. But in this month, you see a lot of brands sort of co-opting, you know, the message. You see that a lot, or you did see it a lot, like around the NFL and, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you know, and. And you see a lot of those sort of social messages that you big brands, affirm to be relevant, to be culturally relevant, right? We see that. We're seeing it right now. Just go look. It's not hard to find. I was at Bath & Body Works, and they have a pride-scented soap, which sure. I'm almost there. I'm with you. So what you're saying is that there are brands who will appeal to some sort of a and sort of a counterculture to certain, you know. So if there is a, and I think these exist, actually, if I'm thinking about it, there are brands that exist, especially in outdoor and hunting and sporting and hiking. What was the brand that had the spider silk that we talked about not too long ago?
Bolt Threads.
They had a brand that they like sold beanies into or something. It was like a high-end hiking. They had an axe. You know what I'm talking about? Kill me.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. I'm not going to come off of this. Best Made. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Best Made. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't connection. I'm sorry. I wasn't following you.
Thank you. Yeah. So we'd mentioned this a long time ago on the show. It wasn't just like textile innovation. Bolt Threads is in some of Best Made's apparel. But what's interesting about Best Made is they are doing what you're talking about, right?
Sure. And there are other brands that are doing it. It's been more on like the sort of strictly outdoor side haven't really like actually, you know, pushed into what I would consider the hunting and fishing categories.
I think that's what I'm trying to get like an example
Filson.
Filson's a great example.
Yeah totally. Sure.
Yeah, so and again, in that same category. It's still in the same category.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
So there are some brands that have sort of ventured into this realm, but I don't think they're the. I mean, Filson's probably a little bit too urban than someone who actually goes hunting is going to wear out hunting.
it's the same issue that you might have with. Who's the Canada Goose, right? It's in the style or the aesthetic of a certain type of apparel, like outdoor gear, but you'd probably never wear your $1,000 Canada Goose jacket out, you know, on a, you know, across the AT. I wanted to think about all the whatever, like just send me hate mail, Philip with two L's at futurecommerce.fm. I don't care. So I'm trying to get to a point. So I was thinking about this, and I have some examples that already exist. I think Target is like the woke Walmart, right? Where I want to participate in that sort of convenient shopping experience with everything under one roof and get everything that I want to get and shop at a bunch of, you know, kind of that one-stop shop. I really want that, but I don't really want to participate in the Walmart, like, community, if you will. It's a horrible thing to say, but I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I think Target's like barely there, if at all. Like, okay. I like that. Like woke Walmart doesn't really exist. I mean, Amazon would probably be the closest thing, but I don't know how woke
Amazon. I don't know. Like Amazon doesn't really hit on the social justice message, which I'm thinking is part of an undercurrent, like, or I don't know, right. Like some sort of like, you know, there has to be an appeal, I think, to millennials and sort of like a socially conscious generation. Like I think of, you know, Everlane or Third Love as, you know, as like those socially conscious brands.
Yeah. Like we talked, actually, we've pretty much alluded to this in our last episode, but we didn't really come out and say it, but like, like the Third Love is woke Victoria's Secret.
Right. Yeah. Victoria's Secret's just gross and culturally irrelevant. Send me hate mail. Send Brian hate mail too. Brian with an I at futurecommerce.fm.
I'll probably get some flack for woke hunting, I think.
Yeah. Woke hunting. That's such a thing. But that's okay. We're okay to be wrong. Pragmatic retail futurists and all. We don't have to be right all the time. What is woke McDonald's?
Right.
Is there a woke McDonald's?
Let's keep this trend up. Woke McDonald's. What would that actually look like? I was thinking Chipotle, but honestly, not really. Here's the reason why. Chipotle is fast casual. Chipotle is more like woke Subway.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's not, we now have a show title. Chipotle is more like woke Subway. I got it.
It's not. It doesn't have the cultural impact that McDonald's has. In that McDonald's is everywhere. It's right. as cheap as it comes, right. and it's as convenient as it comes. And Chipotle is not as convenient as it comes.
Yeah.
Chipotle is a different audience. Yeah. I don't think there is a woke McDonald's right now. And that makes me sad because I think that I would love to go, I would love to go to a woke McDonald's.
But maybe McDonald's itself is kind of woke when you think about its, you know, I don't know. I feel gross even trying to argue that. Yeah, never mind.
No.
I can't even be the contrarian in that respect. Okay. Well, I want to hear what other people think about this whole idea that Brian has, and it's totally Brian's idea and not mine at all. Mm-hmm, remember mm-hmm. Brian with an I mm-hmm. at futurecommerce.fm.
I kind of want to do this, like, you know, what would woke things look like? And then what would happen if you unwoke something?
Oh my gosh. Yes. That is like, that is so good.
Oh my gosh.
I love this idea of stuff being unwoke. Like,
what does like unwoke Glossier look like?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Ooh. I don't know. I'm sure someone's got an idea.
Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Like, I have a problem. I have the problem on the opposite end of the spectrum, like golf. If we're just talking about recreation, like, golf is too woke for me.
No,
it's like way too civilized.
No, I totally disagree with you. I don't think golf is woke yet. One, and two, unwoke golf already does exist. It's called mini golf.
Oh, God. It's so true. Oh. You know, woke wrestling. I want woke
there
wrestling.
There we go. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Boxing. Like, I want, well, actually, you know what? Boxing might be woke wrestling. I think it already exists.
I don't think so, man. I don't know.
Woke football. I want something that is like, it's a high-end upscale and socially conscious experience without all of the like dude brodery. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want all the machismo. I don't know. Actually, what I want just doesn't exist. I think I just need to play more video games online. Okay, let's move on.
Doesn't help.
Woke video games. Okay. I'm never going to stop thinking about this now. I think this might become a meme for us in and of ourselves. Speaking of memes, man, every single company on Earth is launching a modern retail reporting outlet. Including Digiday. So congratulations to Digiday for launching modern retail. And that's a, you know, that's news that literally dropped today as we're recording this June 11th, Tuesday. So
it looks pretty cool. I've just clicked on their website. It looks interesting.
And Hillary Milnes is mm-hmm. looks like she's you know, has got some sort of a leadership role, or she's focusing on that now full time, which seems exciting. There is truly enough to talk about in the world of retail every single day, and a big, big audience we know. You know, having been at this almost 3 years now, 3 years next month, I think, or in August. Correct. Anyway. Right. So we are part of, you know, I think we're truly direct to consumer. If you ask me, we're the more direct to consumer in that we have, you know, there's no level of, you know, or a layer between us and our audience. We directly publish to our audience. Whereas I guess that's what a bunch of these, you know, storied, new media or old new media, brands have, you know, they have paid content, they have, online content, they have distribution through, you know, traditional journalism. And they've sort of played that game for a long time. And now they're trying to be way more direct to consumer with, you know, things like newsletters and, you know, and vertical specific content. And I think that's what modern retail is all about. I find it interesting that the modern retail logo looks a whole lot like the Magento logo, but that's just me.
I'm sure there's a connection there, Philip, somewhere.
It has to be. Probably not the logo you want to copy right now. Adobe's, you know, not one you want to pick a fight with. Also interesting, modern retail is all one word, according to this.
At least in the logo. In the logo, yeah. It's interesting.
Interesting. Very, very cool. So congratulations to Digiday on that. And they're not the only ones launching a content brand this week. MailChimp launched a content arm. So MailChimp, which, by the way, MailChimp is no longer just about mail anymore. You would think that in their quest to become a broader marketing platform, they would have ditched the word mail. But that's okay. So they have
they need to alphabet it. That's the thing. MailChimp's so known. It's such a known brand. It'd be really hard to lose that brand. But like, yeah, they need their alphabet.
Yeah. So my favorite hot take on this, I mean, you could look at Variety, you could look at Fast Company, you could look at their own press release, and you could get, okay, well, MailChimp's created an in-house entertainment studio. They're working with, you know, Vice and WME and a bunch of others.
Well, go ahead. Finish your hot take.
Yeah, my hot take is tubefilter.com has the best headline. MailChimp is making original content now because why not?
And I mean, because everyone can make original content now.
It's true. Everybody's always been able to make original content. I think MailChimp's always had a really interesting voice. I've always been intrigued by the way that they do business, and they're not a teeny tiny little company. They, you know, to be a private company and doing, you know, 700 some million dollars in revenue and employing a whole mess of people in Atlanta. That's, you know, that's a pretty awesome thing. Now they're actually creating content. Hey, and they have they have a passionate audience that actually really love their product. That, you know, they have an audience on day one. They're not the first to do stuff like this. They did they've done a bunch of really interesting viral marketing campaigns over the last couple of years. And so, congratulations to them. But I think this is where modern brands are going. Now, they're a tech company, but I think when we looked, like we interviewed Lively's founder, Michelle Cordero-Grant. Right. Leanne Hyken, who's our director of content here at Future Commerce, actually just calls her MCG because that's just her name now. We just talk about her so much, Michelle Cordero Grant. So, but you know, modern brands, especially those of Lively sort, are keen to create communities and be part of the cultural zeitgeist and conversation around those communities and the things those communities care about. It's not just about products. And, you know, I think there's a real story around fostering community through content creation for modern brands. So, yeah.
Well, I think it makes sense. Like, if you think about, you know, back, let's look at history for a minute. Like, how has commerce always been driven? It's been driven through I think through different forms of content, whether it be, you know, is events and sports and or the church or whatever it is. There's always a content and community arm to commerce. You know,
which also touches on culture and arts and history and
exactly
right. It all works together for sure. But yeah, I want to see more about what MailChimp is doing. If MailChimp, you know, MailChimp could go acquire, you know, a Gimlet Media, which I mean, they're no longer in the market, but that's neither here nor there. And it wouldn't surprise me. Right. It would not surprise me at all because I can see them doing it. They have a voice and they have an understanding of, and the fact that I can say that, maybe I just have an interesting vantage point, but to me, they've always been more than just email marketing. Maybe I just have a unique viewpoint. Anyway, it's interesting.
I think you're right about that. Like, I actually agree with you. MailChimp's always been they were one of the early adopters on sponsoring podcasts, right? And
yeah, for sure.
I think that they've always had an interesting voice. So I think you're on point here. A few other interesting things happening around retail right now. One thing that definitely caught my eye was Amazon's new credit card.
Don't call it a credit card. Is it a credit card? It's not a credit card.
I think it's a credit card.
It's a people that don't have credit card.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, totally. Yes. It's a credit card. It's a credit card for the underbanked.
Right.
Which
you're always, literally reading their press release, basically.
Right. Exactly. Well, I need to know a little bit more about this. That always makes me a little bit nervous when someone launches something for the underbanked, because it's easy to take advantage of the underbanked, if
yeah.
you will.
Well, these things These things have always existed. This goes hand in hand with a story that we kind of brought out a little while ago, which shout out to Jesse Lazarus, who is a faithful listener of the show, who called me out in person, told me that we did a really bad job actually taking a real look at, you know, an interesting, speaking of woke, you know, a social issue that is important, which is there are brands that do serve the an underserved population, and brands like Dressbarn going out of business should probably be big deals. But yes, this is the other end of the market. You have Apple on the extreme up end of the high end of the market, you know, wanting to have these, you know, ultra premium credit services through banks like Goldman Sachs. And then you have Amazon, who seems to want to play to the other end of the market to provide upward mobility for people to help build their credit with things like secure credit cards. And it's not that the Goldman Sachs, you know, ultra luxury credit card market had never existed before. And it's not like secured credit cards never existed before. I've had both in my lifetime, right? But, and so there is a need for both. It's that you have big brands who are championing these efforts along with banks. And I think that's where it starts to feel a little gross, which is, do I want Amazon to control everything in my life, including my upward, you know, economic mobility?
And the answer might be yes, actually.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You seem to think so. I mean, your answer to the Dressbarn question was literally Amazon. It was you don't need Dressbarn, you've got Amazon.
Right. And Walmart and Target and, you know, a lot of other brands that fill that spot. I don't think it's exclusively Amazon. I think that it's e-commerce is the answer to that. Like, you don't need the Dressbarn to have a good to be able to purchase dresses anymore.
Right. There are affordable clothing, you know, for people without access to, you know, other places to get it. So, but you also have this really interesting take on that. What we've not seen is a lot of rewards focus on cards like this. Usually secured credit cards do have zero perks. And so this seems to be built in with a 5% cash back. You know, if you did have Prime, you'd have access to all those other things. And maybe having Prime is an answer to spending money on things like, you know, cable or yeah.
And yeah, I mean, cord cutting's been a huge trend, and it's sure. definitely cheaper to have Prime than it is to spend money on cable. But I think there's even an offering for households in need for Prime. Like, you can get discounted Prime, I believe. They had that at one point. I'm not sure if they still have it, but they did introduce that at one point, sort of Prime for those in need. And so I think that, you know, there may be opportunity here. I just think that there's always caution on this as well. Like, you don't want it to be, what is it? What's the super predatory payday loan type payday loan company? In short, you don't want to end up in a situation like that. But it also, you know, there are also reasons why people have bad credit that, you know, that they may be coming out of, or they may, you know, or they need a way to get back on their feet. And so doing it responsibly is also a good thing. I think, you know, I just don't know the enough detail here to say whether it is or not.
you made a good point, and it does actually, it does exist still, which is Amazon has special programs for people who have EBT or who have Medicaid cards. And so those are, you know, folks that are on, you know, government assistance in some way whatsoever, you know, in one way or another. That's, some of those are, you know, temporary assistance for needy families or TANF. Those are all, you know, US-based programs. But there is a qualification process, but they do provide it for $6 a month for Prime, which, you know, good on them. And they've always had student discounts, as far as like I can remember, a long time they've had student discounts. So you have to wonder, this U.S. antitrust is looking into this right now. When you have, you know, when you're providing credit services, when you're providing effectively banking, you're providing retail, and you're providing entertainment, you know, to a very specific part of the populace who, you know, could be seen as vulnerable. How is that not antitrust? If you so chose, and I'm not saying they do, you can control every facet of someone's life, from the products that they consume to the content that they watch. You know, you control their worldview. That's a scary thing. And now you control their money too.
Well, I think that the answer to that is that there's lots of other ways that people could get these products and services. You've got Netflix, you've got Walmart, you've got Target, you've got, you know, a whole host of other retailers that don't really, you're not locked in.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely put it together yourself, and I do all of the above, right? But for people that are, you know, for people that are in need, which is the reason why we're talking about the story to begin with at all.
Right.
For people that are in need or somewhat vulnerable or financially unstable, the question for me would be, do they actually have access to those things? Not everybody does. Like, you and I have a particular view because we have access to a Target and a Walmart, but we talked a few episodes ago about food deserts. You know, there's a good portion of you know, rural population that only has access to dollar stores for food, and it's all prepackaged and none of it's fresh. Right. And so in their case, in their worldview, or their world, their experience of the world is very different to ours. So I'd love to get someone who actually knows what they're talking about on the show to talk about something like that. But great last story for you to draw out there. It's interesting.
It is really interesting. I think, you know, this is actually, this is in line with something that we talked about probably last year, maybe early last year, which was the idea of household subscriptions. And I think that, you know, I had a chat with Walmart about household subscriptions not long ago. I feel like that household subscriptions and, you know, working in partnership with, you know, governmental agencies is a deeper partnership with governmental agencies is a future that I could see coming to your nearest Amazon or Walmart.
Yeah.
It's such that there's better communication and collaboration for the underserved, and that there's easier and better ways to sort of get your basic needs met for those, you know, even above the underserved. Like, so I think that is a trend that will happen eventually. Whether or not it gets, you know, we get into the antitrust thing is a different story, but I think that there's enough choice where we won't. And so I don't see that. I don't see that being as big of a deal for antitrust as something, say, like what Google's dealing with right now. So,
well, fine, but yeah, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
And I'm the one guilty of, you know, also a year ago saying, just please, someone just take my life and put on autopilot. I'm so tired of making decisions. Someone just make all the decisions for me, and now I'm, you know, complaining that, you know, somebody's making all the decisions for other people, and I am like, ooh, that's icky. That's gross. Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening. I can be a hypocrite. That's fine. thanks for listening. Would love your feedback. So make sure you do that at futurecommerce.fm and like and subscribe everywhere where podcasts are found. Big Spotify audience these days. So make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, retail tech moves fast.
But Future Commerce is moving faster.